Our God is very different than our concept of Him. And He looks at us differently than we look at ourselves. Several weeks back, the Lord pressured us to, by faith, take on the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, there's a declaration by St. Paul that says, we have the mind of Christ. Well, what is the mind of Christ? It's to think like the Anointed One thought. It's to think what He says about you and about me. It declares in His Word what He believes and has already declared truth about you and I. And we go by the mind of men, by the thoughts of men and women, by the attitudes of the responses that we give. It shows where our thoughts are focused from. We're either focused from the one that we believe has a greater knowledge or greater learning than I have. They have a better degree on this than I have. And so we value people's opinions rather than God's opinion. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
What am I saying to you today? When Jesus took that bread on that wonderful Passover, He says, I have anticipated this Passover. Why was that Passover different than all the others? Because it was the consummation of all these hundreds of years where they would gather together every year for a Passover feast, waiting for the real Lamb of God to show up. And here He was. And you know what? They didn't receive Him. 11. Would you look at your neighbor and say 11? Really showed up. And their families. 11 and their families showed up. What a failure for a Messiah. Think about it. I know that there's scripture that says that there were thousands and thousands that He fed. Correct? With the loaves and the fishes, He fed thousands. And for the Passover meal, how many show up? 11 and their families. He must have been a real failure. Because you know what? I counted today. And we're more than 11. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Now, wouldn't it be nice if we had 1,000? But you know what good would it do if Jesus would have started the church with 1,000? Or if He started with 11 that were in one accord with Him? On the day of Pentecost, how many were there? 120. Now there was 11 with Jesus, that was 12. So He multiplied it by 10. Pretty good, huh? I can count. Now I remind you that they started off with approximately 500 after He resurrected. And He gave them instructions to get their act together. And they waited and waited and waited. Some fell away, some ran away, some decided it wasn't for them. Well, He just might not show up. So He wiggled them down from 500 approximately down to 120. What is He doing with us? How is He working with us? He's trying to get us in one accord. He's trying to get us into one harmonious mind of His Spirit. Not the harmonious mind that is affected by this opinion and that opinion. And I was talking to a beautiful lady this week, and I said, get the thoughts of the Lord on this. Don't get the thoughts of yourself. Don't get the thoughts of tradition. But get the thoughts of the Lord on what God wants from you. This morning I was crying out to the Lord, and He showed me a couple things, but the first one that I'd like to take you to is Revelation. And that's the very last book, and of course we've heard that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the revelations of the world, but the revelations of Jesus. Okay? So it's your final book in your scripture, your Bible. And the very first verse is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants what must soon take place. And it's been going on for 2,000 years, correct? So, are we part of that soon? Yes, we are. But it was also true for the people who lived 2,000 years ago. There was something in this book for them. Okay? And one of the things that I find many, many times, we are so low in our vision of ourselves and in the revelations of who we are in Christ. And one of the things that I've heard in the body of Christ for 2007 was Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, therefore, verse 1, before me was a door standing open in heaven, and a voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet. And the voice, or the trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. Now, I don't want to go into the scriptures that he goes into, but the point is, he says, come up here. So it's feasible for John to go up higher than he's known and he's been seeing before. Come up here. The door is where? Up. We have a vision of a door, and we're always thinking face forward. Amen? But our head doesn't go up. The word of the Lord says, come up here. In other words, in the heavens are answers to your future. And that's one of the things that God has provided in this feast, is to get us from where we were to go up higher than we've been. When I met with the gentleman on Friday, we talked about a little bit of what God had done. And the hunger that was created during this feast. The hunger and the stirring that went on. Tuesday night is again something we talked about how the stirring of the Lord was going on during this feast. And God was asking us, go a little higher, go a little higher, go a little higher. Don't settle for where you've been. Okay? So, come. I want you to see that in, let's see. Two things that he wanted me to show you, and I lost track of it, so hold on. I wrote it down, praise God. Revelation 7, verse 9. Revelation 7, verse 9. Who wants to give it out? Ben, you want to take a chance? Read, yep.
After this, I saw a large crowd with more people than could be counted. They were from every race, tribe, nation, and language, and they stood before the throne and before the Lamb. They wore white robes and held palm branches in their hands. As they shouted, our God who sits upon the throne has the power to save His people.
Oh, so, hold it. Our God who sits upon the throne has what?
the power.
Oh my! Does it say you have the power? Who has the power?
God has the power.
Had you ever tried to save yourself?
Mm-hmm.
How good were you at it? Our God, who sits upon the throne,
has the power.
Has the power. So much for your effort, huh? How many ever got discouraged about their own efforts and saw the failure of their own efforts? Thank you. And you end up nosediving back to where you were, or lower, because now you're angry at yourself. So, does that show you a little bit about how much we worship self? We're not even conscious of it, but we've been trained. How many know when you're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Come on now, you can tie your own shoe, you're big enough. And when we finally learn it, there's another lesson. Yes? And don't think mama's going to bend down and help you because... So was it wrong for mom and dad to teach you what they did? Was it wrong for your teachers to teach you what they did? No! But it's a concept that we grow up with, I can do this, my. How many have had a child that had that type of an attitude? Leave me alone, I can do this. How many have had the opposite child where they want everything done for them? Are they both children? I got three in the back there that want everything done yesterday, right? All teasing aside, I was very independent and I didn't want anybody to do for me. So that should give you a clue of how much I tried to straighten myself out and how unsuccessful I was until I finally gave in to the one who has
power.
The one who has the power. I don't have it. And when I admit it, what happens? When I admit I don't have the power, what happens? He comes and helps us. Uh-huh. How hard is it to say, I can't do this, God? Do you ever wonder how hard it is to go down on that knee and say, Lord Jesus, please, I can't, I can't, I can't. Very humbling. We don't like to accept help. We've been trained to tie our own shoes. Yes? And we have had this inside of us, and it is godly to do certain things for ourselves. But another level of salvation cannot come until you bow to Him. So that was definitely in my heart this morning. I wanted to make you get a clue as to who is going to be finishing this salvation job. It's Him. He has the power. Okay, next verse. Back up your Bible to verse 10 of chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 10. Same book. Wynn, you want to try it again?
You let them become kings and serve God as priests, and they will rule on earth.
Let's take a good look at it. In the NIV it says, you have made them to be a kingdom of priests, to go to heaven, sit on a cloud, and play the harps. Does it say that in your Bible? What does it say? Who can give me somebody else's version? Go ahead, Pete.
Amplified. You have made them a kingdom, royal race, and priests to our God, and they shall reign as kings over the earth.
Oh. So what is that saying about you and your future? Where are you going to be? Tata Pharma? How many of you are afraid of heights? You just had an answer to prayer. Well, I had a spiritual pastor from Washington State that used to kind of use that little line quite often, and he'd say, you know, I'm afraid of heights. I don't like heights. I get uncomfortable on a 10-foot ladder. So God answered my prayer. I'm going to rule and reign where? But you got to learn to be what? A priest. Now, what did the priests of the Old Testament do? Can anybody tell me what the old system taught them? They had to
wash.
What else?
Put on a linen garment.
Yeah.
If they did good works, they would hang something on.
Yeah.
Rules and regulations.
Rules and regulations for what? What was the purpose of their reality? Huh? Offer sacrifices. Yes. What else? They would slaughter the animals, cut them up. What else? Atone for? Atone for sins. So they had a job to do, and they did it well. But Jesus was what? The chosen sacrifice. Chosen by the Lord and Father before the creation of the earth. So that when man failed, and we heard that over and over in this past feast, that Jesus would be the perfect Lamb. He would be the second Adam. And we heard that over and over. How many found that the old Adam showed up in their lives in this past week? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, shake your hand a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you learned something about the old man, the old Adamic nature, the old carnal man of flesh has definitely got an attitude. It also has power, doesn't it? It has its own desires and its own will. Amen? And it wants its own
way.
Now, when you go to the Lord and you say, well, why don't you take over this? I can't do this. Well, that's humbling. Because after all, I want to tie my own shoe. I want to get myself holy. I want to do a couple of sacrifices, and then after all, I'm going to be what? That's the old priesthood. Amen? Because the old priesthood had a whole bunch of rituals in order to get cleaned up. And they could get cleaned up once a year. Just once a year. So if they failed, they had to wait 360 or more days, right? And it was an awesome ritual when they did finally get to that Day of Atonement, which happens every fall. So what about the sins they committed during the spring? Or the winter? Or the summer? They had to wait. Do we still have to wait? How many can tell me what 1 John 1, 9 says?
We are faithful to confess our sins, faithful.
Yeah. Yes. If we come to the Lord, He is faithful to forgive us and
cleanse us
from everything that would be self-rejecting to Him and offensive to Him. So what happens? If we fail, we have an advocate. We have a high priest. We have a lawyer. And we can go to him. And we can say, look, I did it wrong. And put your act back together. You don't have to wait a whole year. So that's kind of better than the old covenant. Right? So you can clean yourself back up by saying, okay, I did it wrong. Admitting your guilt, running to Him, He is faithful. How many know that the feelings of cleanliness are not always instantaneous? Thank you. I can remember when I first began to learn this particular scripture for myself, because I had to learn it. I can remember saying to the enemy, sometimes screaming at the top of my lungs, because the thoughts were, and the emotions were saying, you ain't clean. You didn't say the prayer right. You didn't have sorrow. How many know the enemy knows about godly sorrow? That's not godly sorrow. It's just an act you're putting on. Please, come on. How many can fit in this picture? Thank you. And I had to quote that word, which cut the enemy, right at the pass. My Father is faithful to forgive me. And that's what the Word says, and that settles the case. And find myself screaming. Why was I screaming? I had to convince me. How many have ever screamed at yourself? Thank you. How many couldn't solve the problem without screaming? I couldn't do it. And I kept saying, God, what's wrong with me? Why can't I believe this? Because self was still in the control room. Self is a powerful reality. Self wants it done my way. Now, oh, yes, I'm going to get it my way. Now, this priesthood, this kingdom of priests, that's what it speaks of. A whole kingdom, all filled with priests. Wow. We're going to put a lot of people out of work. How many know there's an exclusive club that think that they have the only priesthood? And I'm not trying to belittle them, but see, Peter says, wait a minute. You are all priests. Whoa. Now, girls only, I want you to stand. Just the girls. You know, it's not hard for guys to be priests. But ladies, I want you to look at one other lady, eyeball to eyeball. Just find one. Come on. Find another lady, eyeball to eyeball. Yeah. All right. That's it. Go to Gail right there. That's it. Say, we are of the priesthood family.
We are of the priesthood family.
And we're claiming our stakes today.
And we're claiming our stakes today.
We're believing what God says about us.
We're believing what God says about us.
We are of the royal priesthood.
We are of the royal priesthood.
Like Jesus.
Like Jesus.
Because His blood
has cleansed us
of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
And it's not part-time.
And it's not part-time.
It's full-time.
It's full-time.
So we are also of the royal priesthood.
So we are also of the royal priesthood.
We're not of the rejected citizenship.
Of the kingdom.
Because we shall rule and reign.
On the earth.
As kings.
As kings.
And as priests.
And as priests.
To glorify Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah, give my grace. Give my hand. Come on, guys. Give him a hand. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Royal priesthood.
That's right. Amen.
Royal priesthood. You know, and what does that do on the inside? How many felt it was churning as they were saying those words? Please put your hand up.
I've been practicing all week.
You've been practicing all week? All right. Good. So what you're saying is this is confirming what you heard.
Yes.
blame it all on the Holy Ghost. Okay. Thinking about the truth of the royal priesthood being of male and female is just not part of tradition, is it? Okay. Why? Why?
I think sometimes we tend to belittle ourselves too much and just can't believe that we're that awesome.
Hi. How many can agree with those thought patterns?
Amen.
Okay, so if that's where you lived, you don't have to live there anymore, do you? Okay, now how hard is it to get that mindset changed?
Hard.
2 Corinthians 10:5. Bind up every thought and make it obedient to Christ Jesus. Bind up every thought. What does that mean? That means tie it up and say, Lord, I can't take this anymore. This is not my truth anymore. Now I'm taking your word and I'm going with what you say about me. And that settles it. And you might find yourself screaming again. Why is it important to scream? You got to convince you. You're the hardest person to convince. It's the truth. Okay? And I mean, when you get frustrated, Now, I know you girls never get frustrated. Guys, how many of you ever get frustrated? Thank you. Ah, man, I thought I was alone. Frustrated. Angry about what God has allowed. Okay? Well, I don't like what's going on in my life. And how many of you have trained yourself to be quiet? Just to become like if you were really holy and full of God. You would never address our Lord with a screaming voice. Come on, guys. How many have ever yelled at God because you're angry and frustrated to the max? Put your hand up. Thank you. I remember driving home, and I've shared this with you guys before, but some of you didn't hear it. Driving home on 291, and I was so frustrated. It was like 3 days of all kinds of stuff going up and higher and higher and higher. And finally, I'm exploding on the highway. Not in speed. My mouth was shooting. And it was shooting not godly arrows, nor godly words. And it should have been all expletives deleted. But you know what? I finally got it out of my system. And this is what I heard in my heart. You finally told me the truth. And I thought, oh my God, it can't be God. But it was God. He said, you finally told me the truth. You're frustrated. And I was then able to hear what his opinion was about everything that I had just experienced. And he says, you know what? I'm frustrated too. Oh, well, God's on my side. How about that one? He has emotions. I never knew God had emotions. There's one of the Psalms, and I'm not going to go there, that says God gets emotional. It's awesome. I said, oh my God, he tastes what I taste. He feels what I feel. And then he reminded me I lived in an earth suit for 33 and a half years. And I know how they treated the ones that were full of truth. How was he treated when he was full of truth? Horribly. Yeah. That's why he went from a crowd of 5,000 plus down to a little tiny group of 11 and their families. Okay? Now I want you to pray. I want you to just close your eyes, and we need to pray because we're going to shift gears. Father God, I just ask for grace right now, because this truth that I'm about to give them, I pray, will go deeper into their hearts and confirm the word that was given in the feast. I give you praise today that they will finally understand the fullness of Christ being in them and the fullness of Christ taking them deeper. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. We're going to hit quite a few scriptures, so if you've got a paper and pencil, you might consider writing them down rather than going there. Because I don't want to give all this information and just have it to be, you know, just light. I want you to go over them later on during the week if you can. And the first one is Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Remember, we've been talking about self? And how self gets in the way? Well, this identifies what's happened to self. Romans 6 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Huh. Well, there should tell you a little bit about self. It's been nailed to the cross. Isn't that sweet? But do I accept it? Do I believe it? Do I really understand it? No. It's for the other guy. It's for the ones that died 1,000 years ago. It's for the real martyrs. After all, they had power. It's for the saints, the guys that wrote the Bible. Those guys, they... Get the point? But you? Who are you kidding? You were crucified with the Lord. And he laughs and he mocks in our thoughts, in our minds. And he escapes by us not using the word against him. Got it? The old mindsets need to be changed, and this scripture can change it. So again, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, and we should no longer be slaves to sin. How many of you have ever seen yourselves in slavery, doing the same sin over and over and over and over? Come on, I'm not alone. Amen?
Amen.
So that slavery can be dealt with this truth. And it's going to give you grace. The next one is Romans chapter 8, verse 36. Romans 8, verse 36. As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. What was the first sheep that was slaughtered? Jesus. Now they had real sheep for thousands of years, then the real sheep, the real lamb, and then who's next? Oh, come on, Kim. Wait a minute. Now quite a few years ago, the Lord showed me something at one of the Passover feasts that we celebrated when we were back at Grace. And he showed me the pattern of the Old Testament as they would take a lamb and have the lamb live in the home, and the kids would examine that lamb for 7 days. 7 full days. At the end of 7 days, if the kids found that it had no flaws, it was then an acceptable sacrifice for the Passover. How many of you are the only one in your family that really knows the Lord? Put your hand up. Thank you. Some of you have been chosen and you know you're all alone. How many of you know that there's only a few in your family that know the Lord? Thank you. So you're also part of that same lamb, and there's one for every household. And in the scripture, in the Old Testament, it said if you didn't have enough in your home, you could have the neighbors come in and help you consume the lamb. Amen? So it was for you and your neighbors. Oh my. Well, I don't like my neighbors. I don't think they deserve to be eaten this wonderful gift. After all, they've been ugly to me. I don't think I'll invite them. They're just Egyptians. They should die. I got one connection. But is that the way the Lord wanted it? No. So he began to show me that each one of us has a responsibility for the neighborhood, for the family. And yes, God is examining whom? He's examining me. Wow. And when he looks at me and he sees the blood of Jesus covering me, how much sin does he see? How many can put our hand up and say a zero? Yes. He sees no sin in me. Hallelujah. So therefore I qualify to be the lamb for my family and my neighbors. Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? Now you got a lot of neighbors that you carry, huh? Mary, am I right? Inside your heart, you've got quite a few people that you pray for. That's what I'm hearing. Okay. That's a good thing, by the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. For we who are alive are always being given over to death. Oh, for Jesus' sake. Does that sound like a lamb? So that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. Whoa. So I'm being given over to death so that what? His life. So you're doing an exchange. Amen?
Amen?
Our brother Doug confirmed it over and over, the exchange, the Holy Ghost exchanges my sin for his righteousness, my Adam nature for his godliness. Amen? And it's a wonderful exchange. But this word confirms it, loud and clear. So that his life may be revealed in my mortal body. Galatians 2:20, the next one. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith. Oh, that's a lot of hard work, Kim. I don't even believe I'm holy. Well, at least you should believe that you're full of holes. That's right. While you're looking at yourself, you're going to start seeing yourself as holy. Then you're going to start changing about how you treat others. Because they're holy too. Amen? I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives with me, in me. So close your eyes right now because you might have a different version, but I want you to declare this one. Say, Lord Jesus, I have been crucified with you. I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life that I live in this body, I live by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and by faith gave himself up for me. He had to have faith in order to please the Father, just like you. I added by faith in there because I believe you need to know everything he did by faith. And you are going to get this next level of revelation by
faith.
Amen. And the belief system inside of you, the old pattern, the old way of believing that you can tie your own shoes and get yourself holy, it's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to go down the drain. Just, you know, what do you do with the toilet after you get that stuff in there? You just push the button. Get rid of it. Colossians 2:20. Not Galatians this time. Colossians 2:20. They're like twins. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Oh. You understand, they were living with a Jewish mindset. Many of them were being drilled into trying to get themselves holy. And now, the Judaizers were infiltrating the church. And God was saying, through St. Paul, don't do it. Don't go back to a religious mindset that you've got to perform in order to be holy. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Why? Because there's fleshy stuff still in me. And I sometimes find myself flowing with it without even trying. Amen? Do you ever see yourself sin and after it's done, you say, how come? It's because of the old still there. And the Lord says, I've already taken care of it. So by faith, you just go back. Lord, this is it. There's nothing more to do except say I'm sorry. And wash your hands and go on. Last but not least, 2 Timothy 2:11. There's your resurrection. 2 Timothy 2:11. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we also live with him. Aha. If I die with him. So there's a payoff, isn't it? If I die with him, I will also live with him. When? When I've gone through the grave?
No.
Now. So the reality here is to really understand that when we came to this table today, we took on his resurrection. We took on his eternal life. It's already an ongoing process inside of me. And I am being changed every single day. It's not just for tomorrow, next week. It's every single day. And you are going to continue to be holy. Because the holiness that's in you is in seed form, and it grows. It grows every single day. Amen?
Amen.
How many remember the declaration that our brother gave us? This is my Bible. It said, oh really? Try, Martin, come on, Gail, do it again.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says that I am. I have what it says that I have. I can do
what it says that I can
be. All right. And I'm oozing his presence. I'm an ooze machine. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know something? The Lord, 3 days after he gave that message, I did something stupid. No. Yes, I did. This old Adam thing just went off and did something stupid. And the enemy said, ha ha, you're dirty. And I said, ha ha, guess what? They're clean. Did you hear me? I turned the tables on him. Because of what I touched, the enemy says, now Kim is dirty. Got it? Mm-hmm. What did I say to him? No, they're clean now. So what happened? I no longer had a fear mentality. I came into a faith mentality. I gave out a blessing. Aha! So instead of getting contaminated, they got anointed. Would you stand, please? Would you put your Bibles down, please? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
If I'm to give a gift today, then show me what to give. I give you praise. This day. As I lift my hands to you. I am going to give out some blessings today. Everything that I touch will be holy. Every person that I touch will taste of this anointing.
Everywhere I walk
will get holy
because
of the Christ that's inside of me
is
full of contamination.
Holy righteous contamination.
So come on, Lord. Let's go make some deposits. Amen. Touch somebody. Say, make some deposits. Some Holy Ghost deposits. In Jesus' name. Amen.